we're going to be talking about is preparing for the holidays, or you can word it however you want to. I think the question is most probably how to have a good holiday other than necessarily going to Mauritius or one of those places. So having been in the ministry for many years, I think it's 21 years this year, you see people go into holiday and you see them come out of holiday, and you see people go into holiday and sometimes people come back stronger. Sometimes people come back weaker, and so to say, sometimes people don't come back. And we obviously don't want that. So I thought it will maybe be good to just talk through some things that can help us on the holidays. So we're going to talk about, just that you can measure the time frame you're in your own mind. We're going to be talking about five things. Four, and preparing for the holiday, and then the fifth thing is just looking into 2017. So if you at any time want to gauge how far we are in the sermon, you more or less know where we are. Now, I will say this to you, I think I've mentioned it before, when we moved to Johannesburg a couple of years ago, I very quickly became one of the congregation's favorite speakers, and it was because of my gift of keeping a sermon under 35 minutes. So they just loved me. People would come up to me after every sermon, give me a hug, bro, we love you, your speaking is awesome, the 35-minute deal we can do. So I'm going to try and stick in that today as well. I said you guys could prayerfully love me with the same affection as the folk from Joburg did. So, 1 Kings chapter 19. You can turn there if you like. Otherwise, you can follow on the side screens. The story here, just some context, is about Elijah. And he was a prophet of God. He did some great things. Earlier on, there was this contest between him and the prophets of Baal or Baal, however you want to pronounce it, as to who was serving the true God, and they took an ox and threw water over it and then called down to Baal for fire to fall on it, and it never did, and they danced all night and it still didn't happen, and then Elijah comes into the scene, says a prayer, lightning falls from heaven, the whole thing's burned up, everything's good, and a great victory for him. But then the tides kind of turn a bit, and in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, it says, now Ahab, that was the king, told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. Okay, he told them about this whole ordeal of the prophets of Baal and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. I forgot to mention that part. All the very violent times, all the prophets died in the process. So, verse 2, so Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Okay, not very encouraging. So she was a woman with issues, and the king's wife, and she sends message, listen, I'm going to deal with you, dude. As they died, you're going to die, and may the gods deal with me if what I say does not come true. That's not very encouraging. Verse 3, Elijah was afraid, naturally, and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. He felt discouraged. It was a long year for Elijah. My guess is some of us might feel a similar way. We feel like, man, this has been, who of us feels like we have had a long year? Okay, a number of us. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the year, every year, has the same amount of days. So it cannot be any longer than what it was last year. And yet it feels, it can sometimes feel with a lot of things happening, especially if you spend a lot of time in the land between, it can feel like a long time and I am dying year. So what did he do to address this dying feeling? Verse 5. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. He slept. What's the first thing that we need to do this holiday? Sleep. And you heard it from the pulpit. At once the angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. I heard one amen. Do we have more amens? So he slept, He ate, he drank some more, he slept again. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. God and the angel realized, listen, you're taking some strain. There's still some things to come next year. And so, sleep, eat. What do I want to encourage you to do? I want to encourage you over the holiday time. Sleep, eat. Teens, you can tell your parents, I heard it from the pulpit. I'm just following the very word of God. That's why I'm not getting up. But we need rest. You know, many of us have had a long year and with lots happening. Lots happening on the home front, work front, spiritual front. And I think some of us, we're tired and we need rest. Some of us might be looking like this at work. Maybe that's you at the workplace currently now. Most Sundays, I try and give a nugget, a special nugget to just add value to your life. Here's my nugget. If that's you at work and you need some advice on your boss walks in on you like that, what are some potential things that you could say? Number one, this would be a very righteous answer. They told me at the blood bank that this might happen. A more spiritual way of dealing with it would just be lifting your head and saying, amen. If you are more driven by nature, you can always go for, I was meditating on the mission statement and envisioning a new paradigm for us as an organization in 2017. You can try this one. I was testing the keyboard to see if it was drool resistant. And then also this one is a nice one. You can even try this afternoon. I wasn't sleeping. I was trying to pick up my contact lenses without using my hands. Okay. If that's you, you most likely need a bit of a reboot. Okay. So sleep. Get some fresh bread. Not too much bread, but have at least some. Get some rest. Get to the beach. Read. Watch movies. Play with your children. Go on dates with your spouse. Hang out with friends. Go for walks, picnics. We live in such a beautiful city. Last week, we as a year-end for our staff, we went to Camps Bay. You'll see on this photo, you can rent a bike next to Camps Bay, and you can cycle all the way to Sea Point. And it's, I mean, we can do stuff for free. We paid a bit for the bike. That didn't exactly come for free. But sometimes we think, I can't rest. I can't go on holiday. I don't have money. We live in one of the most beautiful cities in the world. As we were cycling along the coastline, I was saying, man, people pay thousands and thousands of rands across the world to come to this beautiful city that we live in. So one thing to do on the holiday, I want to encourage you, rest. Okay, next in line. What is the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen? If we can go to the next slide here. I love cars. One of the things that I've prayed for many years, and yet God has not answered it, I'm still confused. But I've prayed, God, help us convert someone incredibly wealthy. And let them look upon me and feel compassion in their heart. And let them buy me some or the other really awesome looking sports car. But then they need to throw in this thing, the word, I need to be safe, God, is they need to say, you can only have this car, but you may never sell it. Never. Because otherwise the members would frown upon me. So I may never sell it. And then also I cannot afford the insurance, the petrol, the maintenance, so that they can cover all of that. And I've prayed, it's been many years and I was 21. But I'm still going strong. You know, sometimes you, even as you go past Camps Bay, you see a lot of this. And men in general like cars. You can like it or not, whatever you want to say, but you see a nice car and wow, that's a wonderful car. Women, they love this. This is one of their favorite things to see. Sometimes I've seen women stare at magazines and I look at the sales sign and they just say, beautiful. It's so beautiful. Teens, I think this is maybe more your liking. That is what we hope to be, the iPhone 8. Now, they've promised that for many years. It's not come yet. But all of us, we have something beautiful. Sometimes it's nature. Again, we live in a beautiful country with Cape Point. But it's something beautiful. And beauty is all in the eye of the beholder. It's what you perceive to be beautiful. In the Psalms, David, he's looking for for something beautiful. In Psalm 27, verse 4, he says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." So he's saying, let's hear these prayers, God. What I want to do is I want to dwell in your house all the days of my life. Now, many of us might ask, why on earth would you want to do that? It's hard enough for me to come to church once a week. He is saying, I want to be in church, in the temple, all the days of my life. He continues saying, why? He says, I want to be there to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. He says, I want to be with God. I want to be in His temple every day to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Have you ever seen God as beautiful? You know, I believe that as a disciple of Jesus, God should not only be our greatest commitment, but He should even more be our greatest treasure, joy, and delight. Where He is our first love, where we just love being with Him, where we love gazing upon the beauty of the Lord. And that's what I want to encourage us to do this holiday, is get some time to gaze upon God's beauty. Throughout the year, usually people will say to me, listen, I want to spend time in my Bible. I want to have good time with God, but I just can't because, dot, dot, dot. I can't because life is too hectic. I can't because the kids never sleep. I can't because the kids sleep all the time and I just need to get them to not sleep. I can't because my work is too stressful. I can't because my financial responsibilities. I can't. So I'm getting some time, but I'm not getting the time that I really want because I'm just too busy. Let's be honest. Who of us have ever said that to yourself, to someone else? The majority of us. And then funny enough comes the holiday time where you have all the time in the world, and yet it slips by. And often we come out of the holiday time in a worse spiritual condition than when we entered, and we had all the time in the world. And so I want to encourage us today, say, decide now, decide today. Not this holiday. This holiday, I'm going to make time to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. I'm going to make time to just be with God. And that looks a different way to different people. But there's a ton of things that you can do. Use the holiday. Read the New Testament. And I think so many of us, oh man, I would just love to read the whole Bible. Okay, you can start with the New Testament. But I would love to read the New Testament. I just never have the time. Now you have. Read through the New Testament. I try and read through the New Testament at least once a year. And every time I read through it, I stand amazed. Every time I read through it, just not even studying, just reading it. I just love reading it. I read it and I feel refreshed. I look at it and I just think, wow, I just think this is amazing. Read a book, one of the books in the Bible. Read the Psalms. That's a nice book to read. Pray through the Psalms. See if you can do that. Pick 30 Psalms, pray through one a day. Do an omni-study. Now, God's omnis, He's omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. Do a character study of God or of Jesus, but dig into the Bible. Make times for special prayers and special places. One of the things that works for me is I love praying in nature, next to the ocean, in a forest. It's all those things help me just draw closer to God and see His beauty in a greater way. Just make the time. Memorize scriptures. I've been doing that for years. Now, just to be clear on that, my memory is not so hot. And I struggle doing it in terms of I'm not the sharpest pen in the pencil case. One of my daughter's friends, she's in grade 7, and I was asking her, you know, talking about that, hey, how did you do with maths? She said, oh, it was a worst subject. I said, wow, that's terrible. What did you get? 88%. I said, now, I said, I was at the awards. Didn't you get like first in the school for that? Yes, but I still feel like it's not my best. So I spoke to her recently again. I said, it'll go better at least for the final exam. She says, yeah, I know, fairly better. Some people just have it naturally. I'm not one of those some people. But I put in the work to memorize scriptures because I know it helps me see the beauty of God. And when I memorize those scriptures, I pray through those scriptures. I pray through it in the morning to be able to set my mind on God because my mind naturally flops around. But when there's scriptures committed to memory and committed to heart, it helps me see God clearer. Okay? So big thing here is gaze upon the beauty. Rest and make some time. Decide a day. This is the day. I'm going to make that time to just gaze upon God's beauty. Thirdly, people do some crazy things over Christmas time to celebrate Christmas. Here's a guy, take a look at this slide here. This is this guy's Christmas tree. That's a fairly significant Christmas tree. That's him putting it in his house. He somehow, I don't quite know how he did it, but the tree is inside of the house and it's coming out the doors and the windows. He's celebrating Christmas in a great, great manner. And some people also love Christmas lights, like this guy over here. And this guy put 45,000 lights on his house to celebrate Christmas. Clearly, these people love Christmas. My kids love Christmas. They usually, in the beginning of December, particularly when they're small, they start with this how many sleeps thing. How many sleeps? And so Christmas is obviously such a wonderful time. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of holiday. It's a time of resting, eating. And like I said, I've seen people do some crazy things. But you know that there's someone that loves Christmas more than those guys. There's someone that loves Christmas more than your kids. And even if you are the biggest lover of Christmas, there's someone that loves Christmas even more than you. And that person is Satan. I've asked a number of people this question this week. I said, who do you think loves Christmas even more than you? And they fall around this way, God, Jesus, this, that, trying to be spiritual. Satan. Satan loves Christmas. If trees didn't burn in hell, I think you would have one there. To celebrate. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be self-controlled and alert. Why? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around. It's not that little guy with a fork, with the horns and the fork. This is something more vicious than that. Like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Who is he looking for? He's looking for people who is not self-controlled and alert. Therefore, Peter says, be self-controlled and alert because Satan is looking for people who are not. So what do we need to do over the holiday time? We need to not only rest and gaze upon God's beauty, but we need to keep watch. Because this is his favorite time of the year. He is looking for people to let their guard down. He is looking for people to let go. How do we keep watch? Most probably the biggest thing is you need to know yourself. You need to know that if I'm not self-controlled and alert, where do I naturally go over Christmas? Overspending? We're very quiet. Do none of us do that? No, it is Christmas. Ever done that? Christmas is Jesus' birthday. Shouldn't I celebrate it? Spend more than what I have because it's Christmas? Or maybe you lean more towards the selfish side and over Christmas you start feeling sorry for yourself. don't know if you've ever done that, because you think, I have many a time, sometimes Christmas, because what happens over Christmas, everyone looks happy, and I'm not as happy as them. I look so happy. Look at how happy they look. Everyone's smiling. And I don't feel like I'm smiling. Well, at least I'm not smiling inside. Looking where you shouldn't. Hanging out with the wrong people. Bad company corrupts good character. Well, I'm stronger than that. Really. You need to decide, particularly with friends, and particularly for the young folks sitting in front here, who's influencing who? Are you influencing your friends, or are they influencing you? So that's you need to decide with who you hang out with. Am I better off or worse off? Am I closer to Jesus, further away? Do I love God more or less? Depends on who I spend time with. You need to know yourself. You need to decide today. And so I need to keep watch. What about alcohol? Again, here we are awfully quiet. Let me say something about alcohol here. I think we have folk in our congregation that has some significant problems with alcohol. And I'm not talking to those who are admitting it and getting help. You know that you have a problem. And we praise God for you that you can see it and that you're attending to it. I'm talking about those who are not seeing it. And if you're thinking that's not you, then it is most likely you. When things, and Christmas time is the perfect time for that, right? If you think, but how can I enjoy Christmas without alcohol, you have a problem. If you're thinking, and I've heard this many times, it's not just over the holidays, I cannot envision myself watching a great rugby game without having a beer. I cannot enjoy the game. If that's you, you have a problem. If you're constantly having to defend yourself that you don't have a problem, then you have a problem. If you are, and this is the first time in my life that I've heard this, is this year, word in the street, and I don't know who it is or how it works, but if you fast alcohol, where you say, I'm fasting alcohol to prove that I don't have a problem, let me say to you with as much grace and care as I can, you have a problem. And that problem over Christmas time is going to increase, not decrease. And again, I want to say to those who are aware of their problem, I commend you for being aware of it. But then there's a number of us, we're not aware of it. And you know what's even sadder? Do you know? A number of us see this in our friends and we're at those briars and we see the guys, the beer can looks like the world. The garbage bin looks like the world. Full of beer cans, full of bottles, and we smile away and we say it's nothing. You guys, we can't do this. We have to stay alert. We have to keep watch. Watch of ourselves and watch of one another. Amen? Amen. The fourth one, remember there's five, so we are 60% of the way there. This one is reflection. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40, it says, let us examine our ways and test them. Let us examine our ways and test them. For years now, I have tried to develop, and again, this doesn't come, there's very few things that comes naturally to me. Sin comes very naturally. But other than that, there are very few things that come naturally to me. But one of the things that I've tried to build into my life is the habit of reflection. The idea of regularly asking yourself, what am I doing well? Where am I moving forward? And politically correct, what are some areas of opportunity in my life? In other words, where am I not doing so well? So every morning, and I've gone in and out of seasons, but for most of, I don't know, number of years I've done this, and I keep on mixing the questions up. But I have five accountability questions. That's the current season that I'm in. Five accountability questions that I ask myself every morning before I read my Bible and pray. So that's my reflection time. So I ask myself this question. These are my, I'll tell you two of my questions. I won't tell you all of them, and I'll tell you why not soon. But one, these are my questions. Don't take my questions. My questions are my questions. If you want to have questions, figure out your own questions. One of my questions is, my number one question is, did I keep my eyes and my ears on heaven? Did I keep my eyes and my ears on heaven? And so the question is, my eyes on heaven, did I put my hope in God? As difficulty came along, as obstacles came in my way, did I try and work through those obstacles and force my way through it in my way? Did I go into a panic attack, an anxiety attack, an anger outburst? Or did I keep my eyes on God, putting my hope in Him? Did I keep my ears towards heaven? Did I listen to God's whispers? I believe that God talks to us every day. Not in a strange way. Not sort of in a writing it in a class. Maybe He does that for you. I've not experienced that personally. But where He talks to us, but we don't hear. We don't listen. And so as I look back at my day, now I then go through the day to be able to say every interaction that I had with anyone, any encounter that I had, everything that I did I keep my eyes towards heaven? Did I keep my ears towards heaven? Was God nudging me to do something, to say something, to not do something, to not say something? And did I hear? And then I try and look ahead in the day and I ask myself, okay, with that in mind, let's look at the day ahead. Are there any opportunities here where I would have to keep my eyes and my ears on God? Make sense? My second question is, and I told my wife this week, is, did I make my wife feel loved? You know, asking these questions daily is difficult. Because you need to face up to the reality. So I asked myself, I think Friday or whatever, I've been asking this now for weeks, and I was too afraid to tell her because I was afraid of the answer. She's like, so you actually think about that every day? It really doesn't look that way. So eventually I said to her, sweetie, I ask myself this every day. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make you feel loved. I try this. I try that. You don't necessarily look loved. It's my responsibility, and I want to make you feel loved. I don't want to tell you the other questions because if I tell you, I'm afraid you're going to say, really? You ask yourself that every day? I would have never thought you've asked that to yourself once in your whole life. But I ask it, and I answer it. And tomorrow morning I do it again, and the next day I do it again, and I do it again, and I do it week in, week out, month in, month out, because I want to live a life that is pleasing to God. But I am all over the place. And so I reflect. I think it's a good thing to do daily. I think it's a good thing to do monthly, quarterly, and yearly. The holiday time is a good time to do that. To reflect and say, how did this year go? Don't be overly negative. Start with, what did I do well? I think there's a number of us that have grown in tremendous ways. Admit it. Just check that someone agrees, but admit it. Spouse is usually a good start. But admit it and say, wow, through God's grace, I've been able to grow these ways, but what are also areas that I want to grow in? So we need times of reflection, and the holiday time is a great time to do it. Amen. There are the four things. Number five here, in semi-closing. Looking into 2017, where are we going as a congregation? This year I decided, usually we say this on our opening weekend, where we are going. This year I decided to talk a little bit about it right now so that we can start thinking about it together. A couple of months ago, I started asking this question and asking small group leaders this question as well. As a small group leader, Bible talk leader, family group leader, I don't know what you call yourself, but as one of those leaders, the question is always, what is your actual job and responsibility? Because I need to reflect on that and say, am I doing okay in it, right? And is it to organize events? Is it to have nice socials? Is it to get everyone out to a prayer meeting? Is it to lead the discussion? Is it to make sure everyone's at the discussion? Is it to make sure that if people were not at the discussion, that I find out why they were not at the discussion? Is it to remind people of the wonderful picnic that we had yesterday that few people came to? Is that my job? is it for me to now ask, where were you? What is my responsibility? And here's sort of my take on that, and it's going to come back to us as a church, is there are three things, and you can now putting the small group leaders on the spot. There are three things that is their responsibility that you can keep them accountable for in 2017. You guys ready? Small group leaders, are you ready? Okay, they know this. I've said this to them a number of times. Number one, it's my job as a small group leader to help the people under my care grow in their relationship with God. Okay? That doesn't mean just have quiet times. Grow in their relationship with God. We'll talk more about that next year. Number two, for the people under my care to feel loved. That's a tough one. And so that everyone in my group, and let me say this as well, let me remove some anxiety from the small group leaders. I think it's the whole group's responsibility under their leadership. So everyone in my group to feel loved. And number three, to help us as a group be mission-minded. What is the mission that Jesus gave us? Go and make... Let's try it again. Go and make. There we go. Okay, so we got the mission down. Those are the three things. So as a small group leader, I need to ask myself as a group, are we growing in our relationship with God? Do people feel loved? And are we on the mission? Through some questions and reflection and asking, I've been asking, how are we doing on that front? And I would say that it seems like the best area for us, and I want to commend us for that as a congregation, is the loving one another part. And I do think there's always this pockets where it can go better, but by and large, it seems like a number of people do feel loved in the congregation, where they feel supported, where they feel cared for, where they feel like people are noticing them. And I think that is a strength that we have that we need to continue to build into. The other two areas that certainly got blank stares as I ask about them is the growing in the relationship with God and being mission-minded. Now, the growing in the relationship with God, what seems to be happening is that we have a lot of older Christians who have not matured in the faith in many years. So you are older as a Christian. You are 10 years as a Christian. You are 20 years as a Christian, but you're acting like a baby Christian. Your walk with God is like that of a baby Christian. The way that you deal with sin, your character growth is like a baby Christian. And that we need to grow in our walk with God, grow in our relationship with God. And my growth and my relationship with God is my responsibility. So that was the one that came up. And then the other one that came up is mission-minded. I don't think it's a strength for us as a congregation at all. I think we have individuals who are mission-minded, but I think it's a collective, and I'm not thumb-sucking here. If you look at our Sunday attendances, you'll see that it's pretty much the same people that come out every week. And we love you guys, and we love one another, but that's not the mission by itself. The mission is that we would help others. And then I said to the small group leaders, here's the thing that I find. We always talk about those three things in some form or fashion. Love God, love your neighbor, love those that are far from God. But somehow the mission always gets the short end of the stick. Even from the preacher, the poor preacher, you know, he's preaching on relationship with God. He's preaching love one another. When he gets to the mission, the guy's like out of breath. His tongue is hanging out. And there's not much to say. And we all say, yeah, we got to do that. So what we want to do next year is we want to flip it around a bit. And we want to say that first and foremost, what we want to do next year is we want to get back on the front foot of being a mission-minded congregation. So as we are looking into 2017, that is where we want to go, to be mission-minded as a congregation. And we are starting with the bros, okay, the brothers. So 2017 is also the year of the man in this congregation, okay. So on the 13th and 14th of January, we're going to have a small group leaders meeting for the men only. It is entitled From Here to There, living and leading at a higher level. In other words, how do I move from here to there spiritually as a brother? So it is the year of the man. Now, when I first announced that in the small group leaders, the men were sweating. But I believe in us. Okay? But we want to man up. Okay? And lead our wives, our families, the single sisters, what have you. We want, 2017 is the year of the man. I appreciate Reinhard saying to one of his colleagues, he says, did you know that this is the year of the man in 2017? The guy says, I had no idea. He says, yes it is. It's the year of the man. Okay, so it's the year of the man. Our theme for next year is going to be the church. Okay, not go to church. It's good to go to church, but that's not who we are. It is be the church. Be what Jesus has called us to be. Fishers of men, reaching out to people, helping people know God. Be the church. So here's what we want to do. And I know I'm going to get some comments afterwards. I'm officially on holiday from today. And you'll find as you leave those comments on my voicemail that it would say that I'm back early next year. Okay? Here's what we want to do. I said to the small group leaders, I said, guys, do you know? I said, imagine. I said, here's a wild thought. If we want to be mission-minded, imagine that every member of the congregation invites two new people a week. Two new people. So it's not people, not the guy that I've asked 100 times at the office. No, two new people a week. Wouldn't that be revolutionary? Wouldn't that put us on the cutting edge of evangelism? And people are like, oh, gee, bro, two a week. We're not so sure about that. You know, sort of different people feeling different things around that. Is that really? Are we on the mission? And then I was, okay, two people a week, 50 weeks a year, 100 people. How many of us invited 100 new friends to Bible talk, to churches a year gone by? Just two a week. What would happen if we do? We are 280, 290 members. If each of us just invite two friends a week, new people, as a congregation, we would be reaching out to 500 new people a week. 2,000 a month. 24,000 a year. If you simply say, let me reach out to two people. Let me be on the edge for Jesus. By reaching two people. Inviting just two people. Be the church. That's who we need to be. If we have a Bible discussion for our friends once a month or once in 6 weeks, are we being the church? I say, no, we're not. We need to be the church again. If we have Bring Your Neighbor Days Without Neighbors, are we being the church? No. We need to be the church. So we're going to have some cool events next year. We're going to have our first Bring Your Neighbor Day. I think it's going to be on the 13th of February. It's going to be called Simplify. How to unclutter your soul. There we go. Okay. So that's going to be a 4 or 5 week series so we can help friends in the beginning of the year figure it out. How do I simplify? Then we're going to have a little bit later on in the year another Bring Your Neighbor Day. Bring a euro to church. Okay. And so this is an opportunity. If there's a colleague that you admire and you think, man, they're heroic in some form or fashion by their spirit, their attitude, or even tolerance of you, then just say, hey, I would love to bring you to church with me. If there is, and I find this with nurses, I think every nurse is a hero. Okay, in my book, every nurse is a hero. Every school teacher that doesn't smack the kids around is a hero. Okay. And it's to be able to say, hey, you're a euro in my life. I would love you to come. Now, you can hold on with the teachers because we're actually going to have another Bring Your Neighbor Day, a Teacher Appreciation Sunday. So we want to have in 2017 a Sunday, and we want to plan this way in advance with lots of opportunity where you can go invite the teachers at your kid's school and the neighborhood, invite the principal, where we can just show some appreciation as a congregation for the community and bring these folks out of church. Amen? Then in spring, We are hoping for a church in the park service. Okay, there's a park about 5 kilometers away from here where we want to have a full-blown service in the park and, again, reach out to the community because we want to be the church. For midweeks, we're also going to do something new. We're going to start something called It's My Culture. Okay, so notice, what is our church culture? Who is it that we should be as a church? What should be in our DNA as a church? I think all of us can say, hey, I'm white, for those that didn't notice. I'm also Afrikaans speaking. Some people I know don't know that. Someone said the other day, wow, when you speak Afrikaans, you don't even have an English accent. I said, thank you. Okay, but as I did Tinus and Sinead's wedding in Afrikaans. I hope you guys were appreciative because I dug deep for those words. I've not done a lesson in Afrikaans in years. I sit there at the pulpit and I was digging deep. I was flipping through Afrikaans dictionaries in my head. But so as an Afrikaans, white Afrikaans speaking person, there's a lot of traditions and culture that we have. I'm sure as a colored guy or girl, through the colored community, do they have a certain culture? Color community? Okay, there's one or two. I think we have more colored folks than that. Do you have a particular culture? Yes? Yes, totally. I've watched you guys. There's certainly a culture. Okay? I was going to do my colored accent now, but I thought I'll do it. I'll leave that for a special occasion. Okay? Black brothers and sisters, do you have a particular culture? Or what was it? Yes. I thought I heard her say no. Okay? And it's the same as a South African. But it's the same as a disciple of Jesus. There should be a certain culture. Who am I? First and foremost, before I am the white Afrikaans-speaking dude, before I am colored, before I am black, before I am Zulu, Sotho, who am I? What is my culture? And we're going to tackle that throughout the whole year in our midweeks. It's my culture. I think it's going to be awesome. And I can even say the first class that we're going to do, it's going to be called Friends First. Okay? So in other words, what is our culture as a church? Friends First. Is it me first? No. Friends first. Needs to be our culture. So, looking forward to that. While all of that is happening, in case some of you go into some panic that we are not going to love one another anymore, we are going to continue to love one another, and we're going to have a church-wide party, a winter dance party, and we're going to see some of the guys, and again, the men, because it's the year of the men are going to model this. And they're going to show us moves that we never knew existed. Okay? So that's coming in winter time. Why winter? We want to give the men time to practice. Okay? So that's going to be awesome. We're also going to have our church-wide camp again. And this time we're looking for a place that also has chalets. Okay? Because I know many folk want to come, but they don't like the tent. So we'll look for some chalets. I see we didn't draw chalets, but next year we'll draw chalets in there as well. So that's 2017. I want us to think about it, pray about it, prepare for it. Rest, rest, rest. Eat. Gaze upon the beauty. Keep watch. But also I want to say, prepare. Come back ready for action. Because that's 2017. It's the year of the man, and it's the year to be the church. Guys, I hope you have an outstanding holiday, that you get rest. Don't eat too much. Eat, but not too much. And we'll come back ready to do great things for God. God bless. Love all of you. Hope you have a great holiday time. Amen.